she's going to give me 10 minutes, I'm going to get it. She'll let me know.
Warning, yeah. And she'll say.
And then I've got another 5 minutes to wrap up, and I'll do it.
And then she'll say it's been 10, yeah. And she'll give me 5, yeah. And then you'll know after the
there
five.
You go.
Well, I got 5. Yeah.
No, right. No, then she, then no, he's no. Done.
He's yeah. Done.
Then I'm done.
Oh, you are done.
Yeah. Whatever. We don't have to figure this all out here after okay. The way it happened.
Anyhow, please help me with that, Maury.
I can get very confused very easily. I use the MapQuest to get up here. And I'm already sure I know which way to go, so I just know it's to the west of 101. So. Anyhow, I had to make a couple of turns to get back in order to get here this morning. I haven't been here before, and it's a beautiful, beautiful location. But, first of all, my name is Maury. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Maury.
I am very, very grateful to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous because it saved my life. I want to say a welcome to the newcomer. I don't hear very well, and I don't get your name. I think it was Joanne. Okay. Anyhow, carrying the message to the newcomer is one of the main objects of this thing, and carrying the message of all of us, because in some ways, at least for me, I'm a newcomer this day. I have. This day to not eat compulsively, and each day is a new day. And with all the 12-step programs that I've been acquainted with, and that's been several, this is the one where it really is one day at a time. It's today. I have a friend in one of the other programs that says no days off. And this is a program that has no days off. Just to qualify, show you what I was like when I came back after a relapse, what I was like physically, mentally, it's pretty hard to say. I was crazy. These are the pants I was wearing.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were, you notice one of the buttons is missing. I was growing out of them, and these are probably about 20 to 25 pounds below my top weight. It's a qualified weight. My top weight was around 275 pounds. My weight today is about 140. And I to wear the same size pants for the last 22 years. But I have most of the time, I've also lost a hell of a lot of fat between the ears.
Yeah.
Because that's where really this disease is for me, it's between my ears. And here, let me give you a brief story of what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like now. I was introduced to this program in 1979 through working in an alcoholism treatment unit. And the 10 years before I came into the program, I was either gaining weight or I was losing weight. I was losing weight on a compulsive diet, or I was gaining weight with compulsive eating. Now, my compulsive diet ranged everything from nothing but water for a week. You lose a lot of weight with that. Would sometimes go through periods of where I would eat and vomit. I wasn't a bulimic in that I did it every day on a regular basis, but I would go through periods when I would get insane enough that I just either was driven to eat and I would eat and vomit, or I was on a diet and I'd broken my diet and I needed to get rid of the food and I would make myself vomit. So that was also another behavior that I'd done there. I have done every behavior anyone I've ever heard talk about in Overeaters Anonymous, eating out of garbage cans, going from one fast food place to the other, ordering doubles of everything, including 2 Diet Cokes, so I would look like I was ordering for someone else, like that. That little guy at the window cares what you're ordering, and eating it on the way to another fast food, sometimes going as many as 4 or 5 in a row, getting doubles of everything, and eating it between trips. So I know all about the disease of compulsive overeating. I knew nothing when I came into the program about recovery from compulsive overeating. All I knew was about compulsive diet, and every diet I ever went on, I was usually successful because once I got on something, I am determined, I am full of willpower, and I'm going to lose this weight. And except the only problem is I was going to lose the weight so I could go back to normal eating. The problem is I wasn't eating normally, but I that never occurred to me until I got into Overeaters Anonymous that I was not a normal eater. Anyhow, get on with my story rather quickly on that, I started working in an alcoholism program. This is a story and I won't go into that, but I started working there. I had lost the weight through diet. I had lost 100 pounds. And I was just Mr. Perfect, you know. I just knew everything about everything. A friend there that was a counselor in the program, I fortunately was not a counselor. They were very lucky, the alcoholics there. But she said she was in SLAA, and she was in AA, and she was in Adult Children of Alcoholics, and she headed the family program there. And she told me one day, she says, you know, I'm having trouble with food, and I'm going to OA. Would you like to go with me? And since I had nothing better to do, I went to an OA meeting with her. And I loved what they had to say about recovery. I just didn't want to be an alcoholic, and I really didn't want to be an addict, and I really didn't want to be a compulsive eater. I didn't want to be any of those things. I just wanted to be Mr. Perfect. And if I wasn't perfect, I sure as hell didn't want you to know I wasn't perfect, because I'm a perfectionist, and as long as if it looks good on the outside, it can be a mess on the inside, but as long as you don't find about it, I'm okay. And I really live my life like that. That I, we say we were sick of our secrets. I have plenty of secrets, and I wasn't going to tell them to anybody, thank you. Certainly wasn't going to acknowledge that I was powerless over food and that my life was unmanageable. Anyhow, I started going to meetings, and it sounded good. I liked it. And I knew I had some point, at this point, I had an eating problem because, hell, I'd lost 100 pounds. But I couldn't get what this thing called abstinence was. It just didn't make any sense. I knew what a diet was, and I knew how to diet successfully until I started eating again, what I usually ate, but I didn't know what abstinence was. I started to try to work this program, so I decided to get a sponsor because that's what good little boys are supposed to do and good little girls are supposed to do. You're supposed to get a sponsor. I said, I'll call you the next week. I said, I'll call you. I never called. And the sponsor never called me, so that was a pretty good relationship for a while. And if nothing changed, nothing changes, and nothing changed. Except the eating, I started eating compulsively again. I would diet for 2 or 3 days, and then I would binge. I would diet for 2 or 3 days, then I would binge. A few months into the program, I got my first taste of abstinence. I was going to go binge that night. I had worked, and I needed my fix. And I don't know whether we eat food here, but I will mention. It was chocolate at that point. And I was going to get one of these big chunks that they had. At that time, they had a bin, and you could pick up and get the biggest one. I would eat it on the way home, and then I would eat the rest of the night. And I would be sick as a dog. And feel so bad. And then I would feel so bad, I really would eat very reasonably for 2 or 3 days. Then I would do the same thing over again. And I needed to get my fix. And I got my first moment of realization at Overeaters Anonymous. I knew if I did that, I was going to eat the rest of the night, and it was going to feel awful. And I didn't want to feel that bad. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So what does my logical, very intelligent, and very intelligent, in any gifted me a lot of intelligence, lost some of it as I'm 80 years of age, but... Anyhow, the logical thing was then don't do this. And that's when the gift of desperation hit. It was not going to work if I didn't eat either because I had to eat. I wanted to eat. I needed to eat. And that's when I cried, pounded the steering wheel of my car and said, God, help me. It won't help if I eat. It won't help if I don't eat. And I don't know. All I know is I didn't eat. And the next day, I was willing to call a sponsor. I was willing to start my inventory. I was willing to follow a food plan. I was willing to do what I had not been willing to do the previous 6 months. And that was what I was called that abstinence. And of course, being a very smart guy and a very put-together guy, I was Mr. Perfect OA for the next few years. I mean, I can tell you how to do this thing. I know how to do it. And Mr. OA, Mr. OA star. And I spoke. I even went to the convention. I went to conference, etc. Some 3 years after that, and I'll move on because my time will run short. Some 3 years after that, my sponsor had moved away. The job changed. Is that a...
You have 5 more minutes.
Okay. The job had changed. So I was no longer working in that unit. So I didn't really need the meeting screen because I got very involved in something else. I went to a medical school reunion. I'm a doctor. And they had a big tent where they had strawberry shortcake. And I hadn't eaten any sugar for some 3.5 years. Well, I'll just have one. That was in Indianapolis, Indiana. My folks lived 100 miles to the south, and I was driving down to see them. I had that strawberry shortcake. I stopped at 5 grocery stores. I ate, and I ate, and I ate. I binged, and I binged, and I binged. And try as I might, I would have periods of what I called abstinence, periods of control, and then periods of relapse, periods of control, periods of relapse, go to meetings, stop going to meetings, go to meetings, off again, until 1997. So from the early 80s until 1997, that struggle was there. I had gained most of the weight back. I was wearing these pants that you're seeing here. And I had another one, I guess you just call it God shots or whatever, that I realized, this time it was a little different message. It says, if you don't stop this shit, you're going to die. And that was a voice from my higher power. I know that today. That was a voice from my higher power. Before, I was like, what can I get by with? I'll diet for a day or two, and I'll get it together. I'll get it under control. I'll get abstinent again. And this is, if you don't knock this off, you're going to die. And I became willing. I became willing to come back to this program and work this program like my life depends on it, and it does. And that's the night, that was February of 1997, and I worked this program like my life depends on it ever since. Doing prayer, doing meditation, etc. I had to give up a couple things. I had to give up being a perfectionist because I can't do food perfectly. What I have had to do is if I don't do it perfectly, I have to talk about it. And I never wanted to talk about it. I only wanted to tell you how good I had done. Now I get to tell you when it's less than my standard, less than what I know is the right behavior for me. And my response is heard from me as well as my sponsor. As I tell them, I share what's not working for me. So, you know, I didn't feel good about what I did last night with the food. It enables me to get back I think that's called doing an inventory and doing a fifth step and making amends to myself and, you know, some other things involved here. Anyhow, I also had to be willing to give up a bunch of foods that I was trying to do half measures on. I cannot eat sugary sweet foods. I cannot eat a lot of snack food. Oh, I can. I just have to be prepared to pay the consequences. I have to be able to prepare to do what I was doing then when I took the strawberry shortcake. I have to be prepared to go back into that incomprehensible demoralization, which this disease, like nothing else, will bring me to that incomprehensible demoralization. And I don't want to go back there again. I don't think I could go back there again. I could not survive if I went back again to that time. What can I say that might be of value? There may be other programs that lead to successful weight loss. I don't know of anything that fills a spiritual dimension because what I was eating off, and you guys have told me, I was eating to try to fill a hole inside. Some of us call it a God-shaped hole. If you have trouble with God, don't worry about that. But there's a hole inside that if I could just get enough. But I could not get enough because food is not what I really wanted. I really wanted some sense of connection. Connection with you, connection with the universe, deeper connection with myself. I think we call that a spiritual connection. What it says in the big book under the spiritual experience is that a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from the disease of alcoholism. A personality change sufficient. That's as good a definition as I need. That personality change doesn't mean I get to be perfect, but it does get to, that I need to get to be honest. I need to get to be thorough. I get to be willing. And as it says, the three essentials of that in the spiritual experience is willingness and honesty and open-mindedness. I had to open my mind to get rid of that guy who knows everything, the guy who really doesn't know much about compulsive eating at all, except I am one. And I have a program which tells me how to recover from a seemingly hopeless condition of body and mind. And with that, I'll close. I have acquired a little of that ingredient they call humility, although I still don't know exactly what humility is because I'm full of pride. But I know a little bit about it. I have enough humility to know that I'm a compulsive overeater and totally dependent on a power greater than myself to recover. So thank you very much. Third.